And we know that we are not happy all the time, but we are Jesus and what he has done for us. Doesn't that make it easier to make it through life? You know, the reality is, though, it's not just for us. In Psalm chapter 40, verse 3, the Bible talks about putting a new song in our heart, that a song of praise to him. And many will see it, which is always an interesting phrase, but many will see it, and they will fear and they will put their trust in the Lord. And that's not a quote, but that's the whole idea of the verse. But it's interesting that people see the joy. They don't hear the joy necessarily, but they see the joy. Have you ever looked at somebody and like, wow, they look happy today? You didn't even hear a word they said. You didn't hear anything about it, but you looked at them and go, wow, they're in a good mood today. You know, as Christians, if we're walking around not looking like we are enjoying the life that Jesus gave us and God has given us, you want to look inside yourself and find out, where is the joy that I am not being fulfilled in? Because if Jesus promised and prayed for me that I would have joy, what am I missing here? What am I missing? So, first one we want to see is joy. The second one, in verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. People are not always going to love us as Christians. We can be kind and loving, kind of like brothers and sisters. We can be wonderfully kind and loving. And there is times that no matter how loving and kind we are to our brother or sister, they are not going to be kind and loving back. At least, I'm sure your brothers and sisters weren't that way, but mine sometimes were. You know, and I'm sure my girls are always, they're always kind and loving to each other. And I'm sure, like Pastor Jono's kids are always kind and loving to each other. Right, guys? Okay. Well, at least they didn't lie. That's good. They just smiled. Okay, so seriously, we all know that is true, right? We all know that's true. No matter how hard we try to love others, they don't always respond correctly. And when we love the world as Christians and we tell them about the Word of God and we tell them about who they are as of the world, not of Christ, sometimes that offends them. Sometimes they don't like the fact that we are telling them, look, God loves you. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you because you're a sinner. I'm not a sinner. What are you talking about? I'm a sinner. I don't do anything wrong. And then they get mad. Or, well, who is your God to tell me whether I'm right or wrong? You ever ran into one of those people? There's a lot of people who are like that when it comes to God. And unfortunately, you will run into somebody someday. And no matter what you do to be kind to them, because you're a Christian, they will not like you. But you know what? If we share the love of God and we share God's word with them, the next line is, we know from Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11 that when we share the word of God is powerful and it works and it does not come back empty. It does not come back void. The word of God works even if we hit the end of our abilities with somebody. So it is very important that we understand that even though the world doesn't like us, they didn't like Jesus either. Remember what they did to him? Not long after the scenario we're in right here, they hung Jesus on a cross after they whipped him and mocked him and shoved that nasty crown of thorns on his head. And if any of you ever had your head pricked by anything, I can't imagine the pain of that. I would rather have nails hammered through my hands and wrists than wear that crown of thorn on my head. I just can't imagine that. Can you imagine how much blood came out of all those holes in the top of his head? Some of you have hit your head and had to get stitches before. Isn't it amazing how much blood can come out, how fast? And you think about that, and it's a little disconcerting to know that if the world didn't like Jesus enough to kill him, they don't like us a whole lot better. That's what Jesus is saying. And yet, what does God and Jesus do to the world? They love the world. And it's our job to have the same attitude, to love others, both Christians and non-Christians. It is our job. Now, this is where I find this passage incredibly interesting. Verse 15 says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. We are supposed to be in the world. Not taken out of the world, but in the world. And that we should be kept from evil. Jesus specifically prays for believers to be in the world, but kept by God from the evil of the world. You know what else is really neat about that? Look at the bottom line on the PowerPoint. In this passage right here, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus personally on earth in his human body is praying for me and you. And we're going to see another example of that where it tells that a little farther down in this passage. Wow. Wow. To stop and think that Jesus prays for me. He cares for me and you. That is a wonderful piece of protection. When you have the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and the Savior of the world praying for you, it doesn't get much better than that. That is a wonderful piece of protective equipment that we can wrap around us. You know, sometimes you think of a prayer shroud, right? You hear of a prayer shroud. But think of that. Jesus shrouding you in his prayers. You can't get any safer than Jesus's prayer of protection. The next verse, verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Isn't that interesting? When we become Christians, it transforms us into something else. We are transformed from being in the world and of the world to in the world, yet not of the world. That is a transition that is a miraculous change. That is a miraculous change that you can't do by yourself. No matter how many good works you try, you can't do it. Pastor John was preaching about Nicodemus this week. And he was on a scale of perfection in his godly living, as according to the Old Testament, he was about here. And yet he knew something was missing. You look at Paul, and Paul tells you in one of his epistles, you know, I was this, and I was this, and I was this, and I was this, and he was that guy. I mean, when you think of the most spiritual person in the world, everybody in the Jewish world would have said, Saul, that's the guy. And Paul tells us, I wasn't anywhere close without Christ. We are in a strange transition in this time frame right here, because we are pre-crucifixion of Christ, very shortly to be post-crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, within a few days. And can you imagine the disciples being in that mind frame and trying to wrap their arms around all of this? And their heads have got to just be about to explode. And actually, we know that they are, because in chapter 16, they're saying, hold on, I don't get it. Explain that in more clear terms, Jesus. And he comes back and says, okay, guys. He perceived what they were saying and says, I perceive that you guys are not understanding this, so let me help you out here, guys. And he says it plainly, not in a parable, and their eyes come open. And I think sometimes it's good for us to understand that the only way that our eyes are open to the reality of the spiritual world is through Jesus Christ, through God the Father, through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we can do. It is all about Jesus. So we are supposed to be in the world and not of the world. And I think it's really strange that Jesus prayed specifically that God would not take us Christians out of the world. Instead, he asked that God would keep us safe in the world. You know, the reality of it is, Paul had a pretty phenomenal conversion experience. You guys remember the story, Paul's coming on the road to Damascus. And boom, the lights come on. And he has a face-to-face meeting with the heavenly Jesus Christ. Whoa, hello. And it had some drastic effects on him. You know, the reality of it is, couldn't Jesus do that with every human if he wanted to? God could do that. He could, as soon as you're saved, poof, you're gone. And you know what? Here comes Jesus to the next person. Poof. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. Hey, Chuck Crabtree, I want you to believe in me with the bright lights. All right, I'm in. Poof, gone. But you know what? That isn't what Jesus chose to do. That isn't what God chose to do. He chose to let us be the messengers. He is the all-powerful creator of the entire universe, and he chooses to let us share his word instead of doing it for us. And he prays for us for safety as we do it. That's mind-blowing when you think about it. It really is quite remarkable that God trusts us as believers that much. And it's really scary that God trusts us as believers that much, because if we are not out telling people about Jesus, who's going to? The next verse says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What protects us from the world? Our spiritual personal protective equipment, right? Like our hard hats and all of these fun things. But in reality, God has given us the tools that we need to be safe in the world. But where do these tools come from? What protects us? And this is not actually a rhetorical question. It's on the screen and it's not in your, there is no blank here. What protects us from the world? Our spiritual armor. Yep, that's going to come up here in a minute. She cheated. She read ahead. Where does all this stuff come from? Well, they come, really there's two sources of our spiritual protection. Number one, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So number one, the Bible. Our spiritual protection comes from the word of God. It also comes from the Holy Spirit. If you go back a couple chapters, I mentioned this earlier, it had to have been at least five times Jesus says to the disciples, but when the Comforter comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, over and over coming to that point, reassuring them that they will not be left here alone. So the Word of God and the Holy Spirit are what change us and protect us in our earthly journey. It is a wonderful thing. And then we see the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm just going to read this quickly. I didn't put it in the PowerPoint, but it says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and all supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therefore I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Where does that come from? It comes from knowing the Word of God. And the Spirit giving you the right words to say at the exact right time from the knowledge that you have put in your brain from the Word of God. When you put it in your mind, you aren't there alone. The Scripture is powerful. When Jesus was confronted by Satan, what did he do when he was gonna, when Satan was tempting him at the very beginning of his ministry? Jesus, as the Son of God, easily could have just said, and that was it. But he didn't. He started quoting the Word of God. And when Jesus quoted the Word of God, you know what the devil did? He backed off. And he ran. You know, how do you resist the devil so he flees from you? The Word of God. The spiritual armor. The personal protective equipment. The heavy coveralls. The beekeeping suit. The welding helmet of life. We need those things in our spiritual life more so. It would be tragic to lose fingers. It'd be more tragic to get sucked away by the world. You know, we sometimes get attached to our fingers and eyes and things, but they're not nearly as important You look at Johnny Erickson Tata. She had a diving accident when she was just a teenager. You know, had she not had that diving accident, she wouldn't have had the impact that she had. But because she no longer had her strength, why? Because she dove in a shallow spot that she shouldn't have been diving. She made a mistake. And yet God used it, right? Basically what happened, right? How many times as a lifeguard, my girls are lifeguards, I've been a lifeguard, others have too, you see people go to dive into the shallow. Don't do that. Why? Because we care about them. But do we care enough about them to notice that they're walking right down the path to eternity in hell, and we just let them walk right on by us? Because we don't care about them, frankly. Or do we? Okay, next verse. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. I am sorry, I missed the blanks. You're going to have to pay attention to get the blanks put back in that slide. Christians are not here by accident. Jesus sent us to the world. It is important for us to understand. Jesus loves for us to fellowship with the church. Jesus loves for us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Jesus loves for us to study the Word and meditate on it. But you know what else Jesus wants us to do? Get out of your house and get out into the world and go meet people and make a difference. Jesus is sending you. Go. Ever send your kids outside to play and they want to stay in and play video games? Get out. Right? Out the door. Chase them outside. Sometimes I think we need that. Christians are supposed to be going to the world. We are supposed to be going to the world. It's not our job to sit back and let the world come to us. The idea of go into all the world. Jesus is sending us. I also sent them into the world. Is that a dangerous place? Yes, it is. Do you know what? You aren't walking alone. If you're walking down a dark alley in downtown Denver, and you have a guy walking next to you who's about this tall and about this wide, and he has something strapped on his hip right here, and he's carrying an AR-15, just because that would drive the people in downtown Denver crazy. But if you're walking like that, and he's walking through town with you, do you think you're in much danger? Probably not. Why? Because he is going to protect you. Well, sometimes we get scared and we forget that we have somebody way more powerful than that big bodyguard walking along with us. We have the Spirit of the living God inside of us. We have God the Father protecting us because Jesus prayed and asked him to, and yet we're afraid to go into the world where Jesus told us to go. The logic of that statement is probably why there's less Christians in the world than there could be. Because sometimes we're afraid to talk to that person. That person's right there and we're having a good conversation and they say something like, you know, I should really tell them about Jesus. What are they going to think about me? You know, I might offend them and I might never get to talk to them again if I say that right now. You know what? I better not. And instead you talk about the weather, or you talk about the mountains, or you talk about your Jeep or your guns or all these other good things we can talk about. And we skirt the issue when God opened the door because we're scared of the opportunity that he gave us. But if we're wearing the armor that he's given us, why do we need to be afraid? Why should we be afraid? Christians are supposed to be going to the world. How are we going to share the love of Christ with the world if we aren't ever around the people of the world? That is a very good question. You can't. You can't. If you are living in your little isolationist hut, you are not going to. That's why you think of a monk in a monastery on top of a hill, worshiping God with his whole life. And yet we're told to be going out and sharing God's love with others. And we don't. Don't fall into that. Don't fall into that. Jesus is sending us out into the world. This next quote is on its own slide. This is important. It's in your notes, I think. Be careful not to isolate yourself in a bubble, but rather insulate yourself from the world and go out and make a difference. It's in quotes because I said it, and it's pretty good because God has really challenged me with that. It would be way easier to lock myself up somewhere and never go out and talk to people because people are difficult. People are hard to get along with. People are frustrating. People are also loved by God because God loved the world and He expects us to do the same thing. And yet we sit at home and watch TV and blog about something really nice and, okay, I better be a little careful, a little less sarcasm, but we sit at home and we read our Bibles and we blog about it and we talk to our Christian friends and we do all these wonderful things that we are a great Christian and we never step foot out into the world where Jesus sent us to share the love of Christ. That is a problem. I am so thankful that on Tuesdays we have hundreds of people, that we have people out here handing stuff. You know, I have to work. I can't be here. But we are providing a need to hundreds of people. Not just food. Not just food. The love of Christ comes in many things during our food bank times. So, as you think about this, we need to be making a huge difference with those that we come in contact with. If we aren't doing our job that Jesus has called us as Christians to do. The next verse, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. That is a message that I am going to leave for about 3 months for Pastor Jono to preach, because that alone will take hours to cover. Jesus sanctifies Himself for our sake, that we can be sanctified through the truth in our lives. That is a powerful verse. So what is the truth? How are we sanctified through the truth? Those are questions you need to ask yourself and you need to figure out. Spend some time thinking about. Read through the book of John up to this point. You will find the answers to that. But I am running out of time, so we have to keep going, and I'm not going to answer them for you, but it gives you something to search for. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. Not only was Jesus praying for the disciples and the first century believers that would be going out, He prays for all Christians in the future, including us. And my thought is, wow, Jesus prayed for me right there. Not for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. The disciples go out and tell somebody. The disciples told somebody else. That person gets saved. They tell somebody else. It goes and it spreads and it spreads and it spreads over 2,000 years, and here I am. Here you are. Because Jesus prayed for those men and everybody else going out to share the gospel of the truth. Wow. You ever thought about that? Jesus prays for you. If you take very little else out of it, that right there is a tremendous blessing. And then He says that He prays that they may all, or that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, complete in Thee, in Christ. We are fulfilled and unison in Christ as one body of believers in Him and part of that living body of Christ. That is an amazing thought. But why? Why? Not so it's amazing for me. Not so it's a joyful thing for me. Not so I have the spiritual tools that I need, although it's all for those things. But ultimately, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me, Jesus says to God. Why do I want them to have unity as Christians, to be one in us, to have all the tools and to be out there? Why? So that the world can believe that God sent His Son. Does that sound a little familiar? I think I think Lydia and Shiloh and all the kids that were out front this week, I saw the same verse several times, and many of you saw it on Facebook this week and everywhere else that we posted that. John 3:16 says, for God, say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 4:14, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's why Jesus wants us to live the way we do, so that people in the world see the truth about him through us. That is a sobering concept in how I live my life. So we come to the end, we come to the practical application we're going to have to look at with this. You know, we talk about it a lot, and you know, yeah, I kind of made light of the fact that we have all this personal protective equipment for all these jobs that we do in the world, and yet we have the ultimate personal protective tool, the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God's protection. We have a Savior who loves us and cares for us and prays for us. I can tell you what, and yet we don't always trust him. We don't always go out and get into the world. So how do we do that? First of all, read the Word. Read the Word. We are sanctified by the words of Scriptures. Read the Word. It will protect you from what the world and the devil have when they come after you. Number two, be actively in the world. Yes, world. LD, not word. Yes, we should be actively in the Word, but we should be actively in the world. Why? Because where did Jesus send us? Into the world. Read the Word so you can be in the world, but take extra precautions not to become of the world. Be in the world, but don't be like the world. Don't change your principles to fit in with the world. There will be a time when you are standing in a particular spot and you have to make a choice. Do I do what my friends are trying to get me to do, or do I follow Jesus? And I will tell you, and I think if I were to ask Pastor Scott, Pastor John O, Josh, Pastor Crabtree, and many others, we can tell you that yes, we have won that battle. And we can also come over here and tell you, I have failed when that time came. And I have one moment in my life that if I could take it back, I would. And I won't tell you about it now, I've told you about it before, but I made a mistake, and I remember one of my friends looking at me and saying, wow, you're a Christian and you do that? And I still know that person is not a believer today because of me. We've talked, we're still friends, but I can't get past that because what I did was wrong. Stupid. And all I had to do was do what was right. And you know what? That person would have respected me for it, but I caved in because I thought that I would impress these people who were my friends. And you know what? All I did was probably reality sent one of them to hell for eternity. Because I was that close. And I never recovered that trust with that person. I still pray that someday I'll get that chance. I hope I do. Because I will feel really bad down the road when that person passes away if I was the reason that they chose not to believe because of my selfish stupidity. Don't do that. Don't do that. Always hold on to your principles while you're in the world. The next one, we see a great example of Jesus praying for our protection. Jesus prayed for our protection. I will tell you, pray and ask God for continued protection while you are on this earth and in the world. Pray and ask him to protect you, to protect your integrity, to protect your resolve, to stay on your principles, to stay in the Word, to stay in the world but not of the world, to be insulated from all the evil of the world. Pray for those that you have contact with. Pray for your coworkers even if it's not by name, you may not even know them, pray that they will see a difference. If you or somebody else will get the opportunity to share the gospel with them, pray for them. Jesus was praying for us before we were ever saved. Pray for them before they're saved, that they will come to a knowledge of Christ. Pray for opportunities to spread the gospel of God's love. And then go back up to my point before. Don't blow it when you have the chance. Make the right choice and say it. When you hear the Holy Spirit inside you saying, say it. Say it. Tell them God loves them. Ask them why they believe that. Ask them if they would like to know what you think about that. Don't only pray for the opportunity, pray for the boldness when you have that time, that you will see the opportunity coming and that you will speak the right words. That is the hardest thing, to have a door go by. And you know you had a doorway to walk through. And you know, in this room, in my life, I made that choice. I had an open doorway and I made a mistake. And now, sadly, I'm still walking, looking ahead for a doorway, another opportunity, because I didn't walk through that doorway because I was worried about that, what that person would thought about me. And instead, I ruined what that person thought about me. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. Don't become so isolated that you don't have any contact with the world. And I put a type error in there with the word, and that actually is interchangeable. Don't become so isolated from God that you don't have contact with the Word of God to strengthen you. But don't become so isolated that you don't have contact with the world, because God saved you for a reason. He also is leaving you here for a reason, because you will have the opportunity to reach people that nobody else will have the opportunity to reach if you look for it. And the last thing, when we are out in the world, put your safety gear on. Put your bright orange vest on. Put your work gloves on. And make sure, put your safety glasses on. And when you're out in the world, take the time to make contact with the world and share the love of God with the people that you come in contact with. Because if you don't, you might be the person that God's plan is involved with for you to reach them, and your disobedience or your timidness or your inability to have the armor of God on you because you refused to study the Word of God and to pray and ask Him for protection, and you didn't go out, you didn't get the opportunity to tell that person about Jesus Christ. Why? Because you didn't make your contact purposeful. Make your contact purposeful when you're out and around doing what you do every day. We all have a purpose. Pastor Jono does different things than I do. Pastor Crabtree has a different circle that he runs in. Pastor Scott has a different circle. The Fullers have a different circle. Each one of us are in different places. Make a difference where you are. Pastor, would you come? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word. Just pray that as we talked through this, it would be helpful. Lord, encourage us to be in the world and not of the world as we leave here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.